Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back. Thanks very much for joining us. Pleasure to have you with us. And, you know, it's always great to have people come back onto the show who have had great reviews and really shared a lot of great knowledge. And my next guest is Brad Williams, president of Brad Williams Financial Services. And he's one of those people that we're just happy to have back on the show. Brad has over 25 years of addressing the financial concerns of retirees and business owners. He's a great communicator. And he really listens and treats his clients, or his goal is to treat his clients as if they were his own parents. And you can't get any better than that. Today, it looks like we're going to talk about some things that happen when relationships go awry and some financial issues you should think about in case that's your situation. So, Brad, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us again.
Well, great, Bill. It's good to be back on.
Brad, tell us a little bit about your background and Brad Williams Financial Services before we get into the topic of the day.
Well, like you had mentioned, I've been in business for about 25 years now, a little over, and I really help my clients build their financial house from several different ways. And you know, I take a consultative approach. We go through multiple meetings. And really, it's all about finding out what their goals, objectives are, and looking at things that help them get there. You might say, and I may have mentioned this last time we talked, I try to be like my client's financial GPS.
I like that. Everybody relates to that these days. And, you know,
some
of the problems are that as your journey through life goes through twists and turns, sometimes – divorce is going to happen, separation is going to happen, things where people have put all their monies and everything together, and for whatever reason, the relationship doesn't work out, and now they have to unwind things, and that can be very difficult in certain situations. For instance, if one of the spouses was the primary breadwinner, and the other one stayed at home, and they hadn't really built that much of a credit rating, there's a lot that can go wrong. So that's what we want to talk about today, I believe I have here. And in the meanwhile, you work with a lot of couples, and nobody starts out thinking about divorce when they get married, of course, but it's a shame when things go wrong, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And as long as I've been in here, I've seen it happen. You know, the couples that you really don't think it'll happen to. And it's what you do at that point and after that really determines your financial situation. Because what is important for everybody is they need to have their own credit. You know, you had mentioned being the primary breadwinner, and oftentimes what I see is you know, I'm dealing with an engineer because I've got a lot of those in Huntsville who really run everything. They manage everything, and the wife runs the house, and they're doing all the finances, the investments, and they know where everything is. But all of a sudden, you take them out of the picture, and that spouse is clueless. And, you know, she hasn't built up her own credit, which is very important, and she doesn't know where the monies are. She doesn't know how to manage the monies, and she becomes a real potential victim for other advisors who may not be as ethical as ethical advisors, so to speak.
Well, you're right, and it's not just in the event of divorce. You know, Brad, both of us have been in business a long time, and a lot of our clients are getting older, and I'm seeing people pass away sometimes unexpectedly, and the spouse a lot of times hasn't really been ever involved in the finances, and they're very clueless. And you're right, they become very susceptible to all kinds of things at that point. So building credit, how does one start to build credit? What should they be doing along the way? Let's start with that building block.
Well, the first thing would be open up, you know, personal accounts in their own name, no matter how small they are. If for some reason they've never really worked and never built up credit, get some secured accounts. You can open that up with, you know, $250, $300, $500, whatever. And the key then is you just want to make purchases on a regular basis, pay them off every month, and establish a payment record that will go in your credit report. So that's real key, because if all of a sudden your spouse is not there due to death or divorce, and even disability, it's on your shoulders, and you need to be able to handle that. And if you haven't done the work prior to, it can be a real disaster.
So it's a matter of really showing that you're a reputable person by opening accounts and making payments on them on time and regularly. And of course, that can work against you if you don't make those payments on time. But for a lot of people, I guess the point is, everything was opened in the name of the working spouse, for instance, and the non-working spouse didn't ever think about that.
And that's correct. And then you go into the issue of all those joint accounts in the event of a divorce. That can be a real disaster, because a lot of people think that just because the divorce decree says that one party is responsible for this and the other party is responsible for that, the creditor doesn't recognize that. He's not party to that divorce decree. All he knows is that both spouses open this account, and that if it doesn't get paid on time, it goes against both spouses' credit report. And so if you're going to divvy up the accounts and say, you handle this and you handle this, it's best to either refinance them or close them out. And, you know, even if you have to keep something open because of your financial situation, what should happen is both spouses should have access, for example, a sign-in password. They should both have access to be able to look at it. So if I'm handing something off to my spouse expecting her to pay it, I need to monitor that to make sure she's doing that or he's doing that in the event of a woman, because they could run into situations where they start not paying it, and then it'll reflect against you.
And so, again, we're talking about financial awareness in that case, because sometimes you see the handwriting on the wall that the relationship's not going to last, sometimes well before a split up or a divorce, and you might see one of those reasons is the mishandling of money or credit. And how do you separate? What if you see you have a joint account and you see that the one spouse is really not being responsible with it? Can you remove yourself from that account?
Well, in some cases, yes. And in some cases, you may need to make the payments even though that it's supposed to be them, and just deal with it through your lawyer, because it's a lot easier to take care of it that way than it is to clean up a mess afterwards. The key is you know, the old saying, being forearmed is, or forewarned is being forearmed. So, you know, have a system, have a plan, and work it. And as you see the marriage is starting to dissolve, you need to start paying attention to some things too, because I have seen in my career where, you know, if one spouse is mainly controlling the purse strings, all of a sudden they start siphoning things off. And the next thing you know, when the divorce actually happens, the money that was supposed to be there is gone. And so you need to – that is why it's so important for both spouses to understand their financial situation. That's one thing I insist on when I'm working with my clients, is that, you know, I use a financial planning software system that actually tracks everything. And so they can print out at any given point in time a balance sheet that shows this is where things are. And I always coach – both of them, you both need to understand this. Now, whether you manage it yourself or not, you need to know where things are. Because if he doesn't show up from work tomorrow because he dies in a car wreck, you need to know where that blueprint is.
Good point. Good point. And so having that financial awareness tool, some of the basic building blocks of those financial tools would be something like a balance sheet and a cash flow type of a analysis tool, like a budget type of a thing, or what
exactly
are the basic tools?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Bill, you hit it right on. You need a your assets and liabilities, and you need a cash flow. You need to know where the income's coming from, where it's going, and you need to know where the assets are that are, you know, being accumulated for retirement planning. So yes, having and using the right system, that's not that difficult to do. It just requires some upfront implementation, and that's what financial advisors ought to be helping their clients with, is not just steering them to the right investments, but helping them manage the whole picture. As I mentioned before, a financial GPS. You know, that's what I try to be to my clients, because most people don't realize that when you get on an aircraft and on an airline, is that that airplane's off course most of the time. It's just that it's only subtly off course, and that GPS recognizes that, and it gently moves that compass heading back to where it should be, and so it you're not ever that far off course. So it's subtle corrections are a lot better than massive ones.
Yeah, the key to that is the GPS is checking in every moment, not every 1,000 miles, right? See how far
exactly
off course
right.
we are.
The analogy I use, and I live in Huntsville, Alabama. Birmingham's about 100 miles away. I say, you know, if I'm getting in my plane and I'm flying to Birmingham and I'm 1 degree off, you know, in 100 miles I'm not going to be that far off. I can correct that fairly easy. If I'm flying to Beijing and I'm 1 degree off, I'm a long way off by the time I get there.
So, and a lot of these, like you said, a lot of these programs that either advisors or even individuals can use these days with technology will actually link into these investment accounts and bank accounts and get an automatic feed. So, it, like you say, it's not like a daunting task to update everything on a regular basis, right?
Exactly, and especially when you're bringing a spouse who is not used to dealing with that, when you can introduce a system like that where one or the other can just sign in every day or whenever they feel like it and get a snapshot of where everything is, they have a better understanding of things. I find that they also begin to have more input into the planning process because they have a stake. They know where things are. And then there's a comfort level there, you know, that which is really what financial advisors are supposed to be doing for people anyway, in my opinion, is helping them be comfortable with their finances so that they understand things that they wouldn't normally understand. That's what our job is.
Yeah, and there are a lot of problems along the way with regards to taxes and cash flow and bad investments, low interest rates. There's a lot of areas along the way that need to be monitored and watched. So when you're talking with someone about looking on a monthly basis, it's also important to have that long-range outlook too, right?
Exactly. And the system I use does that. It projects out, and you can look at its short-term cash flow and assets, and you can look at what the implications long-term are. And I'll tell you something we haven't discussed that I've come in that's come in my practice from time to time is when you start having a spouse that starts developing, you know, an Alzheimer's or a dementia, and they were the investment person. They were the ones who controlled things. Because oftentimes those symptoms are very subtle, and if you don't catch them, it can be a long way before you really realize the problem. And I have encountered clients who, for example, this one in particular, the man did a great job all their lives managing things, and then all of a sudden he started getting Alzheimer's and making really, really foolish mistakes. And she was so comfortable with how everything was that she didn't even realize it until it was almost too late. And it's taken us about 4 years to really get back on track from when they first came in, because they didn't come in until that had happened. And
can you give
us a
general example of some of those mistakes so that somebody listening might say, wow, that's happening to me?
Well, for example, not watching a stock. We had in this particular client's situation, there was a really high dividend paying stock that ended up being a bank that went under, and that was a lot of their income, and they had quite a bit of money in it, and he wasn't paying attention to the news and the situation going on with the bank, and they ended up losing that whole investment. And that's what triggered them to come in the first time. They had come to one of my workshops right after that, and she knew something needed to be done, and that's when we started working together.
That's a good – okay, so not paying as close to detail on things as volatile as stocks, and it also could be that they're all of a sudden maybe they're working with someone they never worked with before, and things are, somebody's got a hold of them in some way, shape, or form. Because there's a lot of people out there that we deal with that have elder parents, or they're getting older themselves, and they realize their spouse is not quite with it, so they need to keep an eye on things and learn about those types of situations. It's great advice. Now, when a couple splits up, and it looks like they're going to be heading for separation and then divorce, how important is it to get something in writing, or you know, create a benchmark right away, so that anything happens after that point is on the other spouse, for instance?
Well, one good thing is pull both credit reports. You know, that's the first step. Then pull up all the accounts immediately. You want to have statements. You want a snapshot of that very moment. Where are you in your credit? Where are you in your assets? Where are you in your liabilities? And then it's oftentimes in the best interest of clients. I had a good client and good friend go through they had a very successful medical practice, and they went through a divorce. They both were in the practice, and it destroyed their practice because the lawyers could never seem to make a deal. It seemed like whenever a deal came to the table that looked like it was going to go through, the other one had a reason why not to do it. And so they ended up spending a lot of money on lawyers' fees when, if they had been reasonable and they had sat down and said, okay, look, this isn't working, it looks like a divorce is imminent, let's figure out how we keep this stuff in the family instead of buying a new car for the lawyer down the street.
Right, right. Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. And it can get, things can get hostile and heated, and in the heat of the battle, a lot of assets can be lost to fees. And that, you know, again, I think we're back to the creed here is pay attention, be informed, be prepared. Brad Williams Financial Services, and Brad Williams, how do our listeners get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you and your practice, Brad?
Well, they can visit my website, which, I always joke, if you've got a financial question, ask Brad Williams, and it's www.askbradwilliams.com. My local number here in Huntsville is 256-536-3075. And I also have a retirement planning online presentation that is, you know, 10 minutes or so, that goes into a lot of this topics of retirement planning, called bradwilliamspresents.com.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us again. It's always good to hear from you. You bring very clear information to our listeners. And again, even when it's an unpleasant topic like building credit in the event of divorce, Brad's got the answer. So ask bradwilliams.com. You heard it here. Thanks, Brad. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Bill.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. So please stay with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel for The Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your managers should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you, or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.